and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters. Day 249. So close to yet another milestone. I'm apprised Jonathan's in the chat. I would know Jonathan was in the chat if I could see Vivaldi, but Vivaldi's vanished. It's been that kind of week with tech, hasn't it, Mike?
Can you Have not you... see the chat without Vivaldi?
Well, I could, but that's not the point. No. Where's my Vivaldi gone is the point. Honestly, if one more thing breaks, I'll have a...
What? That's Vivaldi.
Oh. Do you know, if you want them to hear you, you need to talk into the microphone. Instead of which, he's turned round to me, and now he's...
No, because we're not licensed for music.
It's all right. That was nothing like music, Mike. Oh, I'm bad. Are you Vivaldi? No!
Congratulations, Deb.
Oh, this is shocking. I'm missing things. What am I missing?
43 years married today.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
And you're choosing to spend it with us.
Cool. We're children by comparison, aren't we? Children.
Yeah, we're not even married.
Yeah, we're working
on
it.
But don't tell the bishop.
To be honest, right now would be a very good time to tell the bishop, seeing as their weddings are off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're not married because we can't get married. There you go. Ha ha! Why have I got a grey strip at the bottom of Vivaldi? I've got Vivaldi back. Woohoo! Winning hit. Now all my buttons aren't working. Did I mention it was pressing all
well,
my buttons?
Well, my mate, who I've just hooked up with.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't Tinder, was it?
No, not on Tinder, on Facebook. Said it's a good time to get married because then we wouldn't have to mess with a big wedding.
I've no intention of messing with a big wedding anyway. Do you know, I did go through that phase. Not as a child, not at all. Wasn't bothered. My mum said to me, and she was quite right, wasn't she? You know this business of parents paying, which I think is absolutely shocking. I mean, for years ago, when people were children, when they were getting married, you know, like they were 18. Yeah, fine. But, you know, as a grown adult, once I was 36 with a dog, it was like, yeah, probably not, mum. Don't worry about it. But when we came back here, when we moved in here and we started going to church, no one knew we weren't married. I never mentioned we were. I never mentioned we weren't. My Vivaldi still isn't working and now's my other one. Oh, hang fire. What's going on?
You've broken it.
No. No, 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 no. I've inadvertently opened a Notion window and it says, and I quote, update and see what's new.
That'll be from last week.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. It was from 5 minutes ago.
Mine hasn't come up and I've just opened Notion.
It's a bug bash. What's SCIM?
SCIM.
Automate user and group provisioning with Notion's SCIM API.
System for cross-domain identity management.
Ooh, that's rather cool. Is there anything totally sexy?
Don't know.
No. Oh, well, never mind. It's mainly bugs, but it looks good that part of the API is available.
Night-night, Simon.
Oh, good night, Simon. Hello and goodbye. Right, I'm in. Fantastic. Right. Let me. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. CQ. Hello, Simon, and goodbye, Simon. Good morning, Paul. Big, big congratulations to Deb and Mr. Deb. 29 years for us. Next year. 28 and a half, isn't it? It all counts. Right, who else have we got? Maybe they figured out why Notion isn't showing up. Let me have a look at the bug fixes. They all seem to be web stuff, to be honest. Does it mention iOS? There is a couple of things on iOS, only they're calling it mobile. Notion pages include the page icon in Safari. Whoopie-doo. Interface elements to overlap. No, that's not us. Settings and members. No. Inline hyperlinks. No. Reordering favorited pages. No. New customized page. No. I don't see anything specific for it, but it's worth updating and having a look. She's doing that thing again.
What are you doing?
Lola's just started thumping.
Like Mrs. Alving's bell.
I know. She's like thumping a back leg on the floor like a clog dancer. Oh, she's so cute, but that's not the point. Oh, lucky Dusty's going out. First time in ages. Enjoy yourself, Dusty. Hello, Anthony. Right, what was I doing 3 hours ago when
looking
I went
for Vivaldi?
No, I've got Vivaldi. Vivaldi's back now. And I've updated Notion, so I've sorted that out. What was I actually opening that for? I've not a clue. It's literally like knock three times. She probably wants a treat carrying out to a mic. Just carry me one, Daddy. Carry me one.
Yes.
Ah, right. So I'm here and I've got my Vivaldi and everything's fine. What were we talking about? Remind me, Mike. Oh, was it my tech? My week-long tech nightmare. Could have been that. Oh, do you know what I did last night?
What?
I kind of made a decision. It's time to move from Google Drive for my Affinity stuff.
Oh.
Only because I only have 1 terabyte on Google Drive. How much storage does anybody else have on Google Drive? I actually pay for 1 terabyte. When we switched to Google Calendar in the summer of 2018, we also took the decision to pretty much put our documents on Google Drive. I was planning on using OneDrive for that, but the sharing was shocking, wasn't it? However, is the sharing fixed now? As I heard it, there was an update that let you... The reason the sharing was a nightmare was... don't know if you're aware of this. Imagine you are in Dropbox, because it wasn't got Dropbox. And I share a folder with Mike called MacBytes. And this folder called MacBytes is in a para system on my Dropbox. So in my Dropbox, it's in areas, MacBytes. But Mike doesn't para anything because, you know, you know better or something. Is it something like that?
No.
No, he doesn't. So, but I share it with him. It doesn't share it with any indication to Mike that on my system, it's in a folder called areas, 2.areas. So when it lands on his Dropbox, it's just a folder called MacBytes in the root. Now, if he had a totally different organisation system, Mike organisation system. Let's assume he did. And let's assume that he wanted it somewhere called Brands. Then he could actually put that Dropbox folder called MacBytes in this Brands folder he's got. And it wouldn't affect me, and where I put it wouldn't affect him. And Google Drive allows you to do that as well. OneDrive doesn't. If I shared that MacBytes folder with Mike, it would be in the shared folders section, which I personally think makes it very difficult to work with. It's like, where's the MacBytes folder? Oh, yes, it's shared. And it's shared with Mike, so he has to go to the shared area to find it. But I'm pretty sure they fixed that. I would say that's fixed. A different way to share it, but I think it was only relatively recently. The other reason that I was going to use OneDrive exclusively was because originally when you bought Office 365, there was unlimited storage. Yeah, I know. And I remember saying that that's not sustainable, but never mind, I'll go with it. And I thought what I'll do is, you know, I'll organise all my stuff and then I'll put it up there chunk by chunk. And while I was contemplating it, they decided that was a really bad idea, and took it away. So I thought, now I'm left with 1 terabyte of storage. So with 1 terabyte on Google Drive and 1 terabyte on OneDrive and 16 gig, I know, on Dropbox. Dropbox wasn't viable because I didn't have enough space and I thought it was very expensive. So we settled on Google Drive and it's fine. You know, we've been happy with it ever since. Because we've got the enterprise level thing. So we have Google Drive file stream, which has pointer files. So we don't have to download everything. It downloads on demand. The issue now is, you know, if you wanted to use more Google Drive space, certain things don't work on Google Drive. Hindenburg's one of them. I have no idea why. It just doesn't. And in the meanwhile, we got some Dropbox stuff. So when iCloud started acting up and I took my Affinity Photo, Affinity Designer and Affinity Publisher stuff of iCloud, I put it on Google Drive. But I took the decision last night it might as well go on Dropbox because we've got 3 terabytes of Dropbox space doing absolutely nothing. I don't think I'm using more than 20 gig. It's criminal. We bought it for different reasons other than storage, but I thought it was time to shift it. I also thought it was time to shift some other files like Word files. That was interesting. I said, does anybody use Word or Excel? Let me know. Write in Word, Excel or PowerPoint. Or maybe you are Pages, Keynote or Numbers. Put in what you use. I'd totally forgotten. I was aware of this at some point. And then I'd totally forgotten it until it bobbed up and I thought, what on earth is that? I had a Word file and I opened this Word file. I put the Word file in Dropbox, opened the Word file from Dropbox, and up came this Dropbox icon, hovering meaningfully on the screen, right-hand side, halfway up. And I'm like, what's that? And then I clicked on it, you know, to remind myself. I thought, oh, yes, that's right. You can actually use Dropbox as a host for both Microsoft files and Google files, so Sheets, Docs and Slides, which I must admit I do find quite strange. And you can edit them in the cloud. They've got their own editing suite. If you are on a computer, this little Dropboxy icon thing that hovers meaningfully lets you make comments and share things and interact. I can't see that I'm using it, but I thought, well, never mind. And you can get rid of it. And Mike said, well, why don't you get rid of it if you don't want it? And I said, because I've no idea how to get it back if I do want it. You're gonna love these interfaces, haven't you? You really do. But, you know, it's a nice touch. What I really wanted at the top of this Word thing, there was an automatic save option. You could slide it on. Only works with OneDrive. And I said to Mike, that's nice. Nothing else works with OneDrive. I'll leave it alone. Oh, Anthony is, let's have a look. Word and Excel for Deb. And Anthony's Word, Excel and Keynote. Did PowerPoint do something to offend you, Anthony? I'm like that with Excel. Jonathan uses Word and Excel. You've got PowerPoint, but you don't think you've opened it. Oh, Jonathan, a toy you've not opened. So you would actually choose Word over Pages. I don't use Word that often, I must admit. I do remember going through a painful transition from WordPerfect to Word, and the air was blue. Because I'd used WordPerfect for years. And that this was back in the day. Let me think. I got WordPerfect when Jonathan was minus one, 1988, which was my 21st birthday. And I got the software from the Ali Pali in London. These were the days when you had to get a train. I think actually we drove that time down to London to go to a computer fair. Because there weren't any anywhere else. Not even joking. So we head down to London. We get to this computer fair. And I'd already got my computer in May for my birthday. What I wanted was WordPerfect. What I had was, gosh, what was it called? Was it called Write? I think it was called Write. Michael, remember. It was a suite of products before its time, I'll tell you. It was actually an office suite. It had a spreadsheet, a database and a word processor in it. But I wanted WordPerfect because it was the standard. And I get down to London to buy this thing. There was like 25% off it. It was worth the trip. Trust me. You could actually get to London on petrol back then for about £6. Used to fill up when I got to London and it was £6. Tell how long ago it was, Jonathan. And I bought this thing. It was heckishly expensive. Still, it was over £400. But it had with it the most amazing manual. You may remember back in the day, the manuals were like in a ring binder. So you could take the pages out to work with them because it was so huge. But the ring binder itself was probably A5 size. And it actually slotted into a kind of box. So it stood on the shelf like that. And I worked through the entire manual. So I knew WordPerfect inside out. When the writing was on the wall, a good few years later, so probably probably about 95, 96, I thought I'm going to have to move to Word. And of course, Word did have a manual. Word actually had a manual. Did you know that, Jonathan? Have you ever seen a Word manual? The original Word manual. You'd have probably been about five. It was about an inch and a half thick. But the thing with it was the paper was like tissue paper. Don't even think of touching it. You know, you need white gloves to turn it over or it would rip. And it had a proper stitched spine to it. Well, not stitched, like glued. It wouldn't lie flat anywhere. So to try and work through the manual itself was a nightmare. But when I did, it was a complete eye-opener. And really, to switch, it's not just a case of like, well, I'm using, you know, Word and I'm going over to Pages or whatever. It was a case of understanding the methodology behind the decisions they'd made. So one of the things I remember was the page numbers, and it was a nightmare. But once you understood how Word had implemented it and why, I would appear to have at that stage drunk the Microsoft Kool-Aid and realised it was actually way more powerful than WordPerfect. But the features weren't discoverable and you got this stupid manual that you could barely read. I'm going to dig one out, Jonathan. I bet there is one on the shelf. The originals. Oh, here's something Jonathan probably won't remember. Word 1, which I think came out before you were born, but Word 1 had all of the toolbars and stuff that you would remember in the very, very old versions of Word. But did you know all the applications, Word, Excel, Access, don't know about PowerPoint, don't recall seeing PowerPoint, the icons were black and white. It was like watching BBC Two in 1960. The whole interface was black and white on a colour computer. The next version came out and one of the things that they trumpeted was the icons are coloured now. like they should have been before. Have you noticed though, Apple are going the other way? You look at Biggles and everything is just blah. That if it's like a dark background, everything's just white. If it's a light background, everything's just kind of grey. So Apple are going the other way now, seriously. But I'm open-minded in terms of switching. I still feel the pain points, just like anybody else. But I always try and remember back to, you know, WordPerfect to Word. And what I could do in WordPerfect was great, you know, because I'd gone through the manual. I knew about mail merge before it was a thing. I didn't have anybody to mail merge to, but I knew how to do it. And I remember thinking when I started looking at it, why would you do this? And then I thought, oh, I see. And then I started thinking, I'm going to have to talk Mum into letting me mail merge her Christmas cards, you know, just for practice, for something real. It took me about 5 years. And in the end, she said, you know, you said you could do something magic with these addresses. I said, yeah. She said, can you do it? I thought, oh, yes. Give it to me. And I did. And I did her Christmas address labels as labels. Save her handwriting all of the envelopes. Because, I mean, honestly, there was about, she sent about 80 to 100. It took its time. So then she fell in love with it. But unless you had a kind of need for that or a business need, it wasn't the kind of feature that you used. But I totally understood it. So the difference between Word and WordPerfect was the theory behind it. Good night, Jonathan. See you tomorrow. Word 1 for DOS, a complex creature. To save a file, you had to press escape, choose file, transfer and save. Oh, Anthony, those were the days, wasn't it? Those were the days. That sounds like that hidden menu that you used to use.
Which hidden menu?
In Lotus 123.
Slash.
The slash menu.
Slash which, file save.
Isn't that still there today?
Yeah.
So it was a menu. Because it was DOS, you needed a way. In fact, have you noticed, Mike, that slash menu? We don't actually think about it, but it's been implemented in Rome and Notion.
Oh, yeah. How's that, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't think about it in that way. Yes, the slash key used to bring up the menu, and then you would navigate through the menu, given that it was DOS.
Yeah, and then when they went the WYSIWYG with that add-in called Always, you press the colon.
Sorry. There was an add-in called Always.
Yeah, like the tampons.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you do realise that's a tampon brand, don't you? I've heard heard of things better named. But carry on.
iPad.
iPad for a start.
No, it was an add-in called Always.
Fleet Tweets.
Who?
Fleet Tweets. Missed that last night, didn't you?
What's Fleet Tweets?
A fleet is like a tweet, but it only lasts 24 hours. Oh. But the problem was, Fleet is a brand of suppository in the States.
Oh.
Yeah, not the best name they've ever thought of. But, you know, it rhymes with tweet, so I'm guessing it's that.
Supercalc. I used to teach that.
Hello, Sarah. Good to hear from you. Oh, you used to love WordPerfect. Takes you back fond memories. WordPerfect was brilliant. It really was. Do you know, it actually helped me with web design as well. Not that it did web design, but it had this concept of an on tag and an off tag, as did WordStar, didn't it?
WordStar.
We're going back now. But it did. And, you know, once you'd learnt the principles, you could apply them elsewhere. And that's what I did. So it helped me with front page. It helped me with web design. But, you know, I faced facts that I was going to have to go. We did mention briefly WordPerfect the other night. It's still going, but it's so expensive by comparison to Word with no storage and stuff. I really don't know who's buying it.
I've got a question.
Oh, go on.
I've got a question for Sarah. Is that Yoga Sarah or is that another Sarah?
Seems Mike has a yoga buddy.
If it's Yoga Sarah, she'll know who I mean.
Oh. The first one Anthony used was WordStar with its dot commands. I guess they all had to have a way for you to work with them, and they all went their own separate ways. I just think it's interesting that this slash command was added to Excel. And it was added to Excel, if you think about it, not because it needed it, but to make the Lotus 1-2-3 switchers feel comfortable.
It is Yoga Sarah.
Hello, Yoga Sarah.
I was about to ask you about your Mac.
Ah, still contemplating
a new
Mac.
You know Yoga Sarah.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Oh, you're looking very snazzy.
Oh, thank you.
He's done all his hair for his meeting tonight. You remember reading manuals on the bus on the way to work? Learned on something called Edward. No, I don't remember that. Mine was paper manuals, but they were a nightmare to work with. The binders were so much better. And when you look at stuff now, I must admit, there are times it infuriates me that there isn't a manual. How on earth some of these companies expect you to understand what's going on with the software is beyond me. I'm trying to think of something in particular. I mean, sometimes you can get books, but, you know, you are... I saw one today that was, you know when you Google it and you find, not exactly a tutorial, but, you know, maybe 5 points, do that. And then in brackets after it, it said, or go to the all-in-one manual, page 640. And I thought, and what book would this be that you of which you speak? Because there was no link to it. I'm thinking, the all-in-one what? It doesn't come with manuals. The ones that I do find very weird... The help system for all of the Affinity apps is incredibly good. But they have brought out two books, and they call them workbooks. The one that came out first was for Designer, and then Photo followed. They haven't done one yet for Publisher, which I find strange. But when they say they're workbooks, you'd think of, you know, here's the finished product and this is how we do it, follow these steps. And it isn't. It's more like a kind of show and tell. They're not cheap either. I think they're around £40. And they're probably about just over an inch thick. I mean, I bought both of them because when they first release one, they put them all on offer. And that's the cheapest the book will ever be. So I think it was like £22. You know, and I'm glad that I've got them for to have a look at, but they're more like coffee table books than they are actual proper manuals. And yet I've got really good memories of books that were incredibly helpful. The ones that stick in my mind, because I understood WordPerfect, I didn't really need to do much in terms of learn the concepts of like mail merge. So for Word, I didn't need that much. But for Access was so different. I remember wading through book after book after book on Access. One of them was, I think it was called something like 101 things to do in Access. 101. You remember that book?
I think I do remember
it. What was it, though? 101 what?
I don't know.
Like tips and tricks, but not really tips and tricks. Like, they were broken up into sections. So one would be fantastic things to do with tables, and another would be amazing things to do with forms, that kind of stuff. And I remember that one because in it, in the reports section, they had the most amazing reports. So I use that as like a reference to generate other reports. Reports like 5,000 addresses by surname. And it used to put the first letter of the surname on that page in the top right-hand corner.
I used to show that as a demo.
That is a good demo, isn't it? Because it's nothing it can do out of the box, that. You've got to program it. So I remember that book really fondly. And the other one I remember was from a company called Rox Press, WROX. Yeah. And I can't remember what the book was called, but it was to do with Access. And it was the one with the whiskey database.
Mm.
Was it actually about wine?
No, it was about whiskey.
All whiskies, was it?
Yeah.
I must admit, I took no notice of what the database actually contained. But all of the demonstrations in this thing were so spot on. You could think, oh, I need a form to do X. It was in the whiskey database. And you could just like lift fields out of it. You could lift designs out of it. It was amazing. And we don't really have that today. Everything's just assumed that you'll Google it or go to YouTube.
Super Calcon Fox Pro.
Oh, Fox Pro, remember that.
Was that a database?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Autocorrect is dreadful. Oh, I'm loving that one. Word 6 for Windows used to have a word perfect mode. Oh, gosh, Anthony, it did, didn't it? Now you've said I remember that. I didn't use it. But yeah, it would make it white on blue. Oh, that's amazing. I'm glad you reminded me about that.
I remember DBase. Yeah, I think it was dot commands. I don't think there was a user interface.
The one I had to use was very strange, but looking back on it now, it was way ahead of its time. It was called Ask Sam. Do you remember Ask Sam?
I remember Ask Sam. I remember you showing it to me.
It was a weird thing. It was like a free-form database that you could kind of query without having to worry about the structure of the data, which sounds really weird. If you think about it, it's basically like how we search now. But back then, the database structure was critical. And the reason we were using it, shipped on 5.5-inch floppies, 5.25-inch floppies. And the reason we were using it was we were getting back. I was working for a medical negligence specialist solicitors at the time, and we were getting back from the British Library all these articles, and we were getting these articles in the database, and then you needed to query the database. But obviously there was very little in the way of meta. You needed to kind of drill down into the data of the article to query that, and it did it. We also used another system, and it shipped on CD, which doesn't sound exciting these days, but trust me, this was 1989. The machines did not have CDs. We had to buy this multimedia thing, and it looked like a component from a hi-fi system, and it sat underneath the monitor, and there was a drawer in it, and you put the disc in. It was the only one I had ever seen at that point. No one else had one of these things. And what was on the discs was the index to the contents at the British Library. So I was in the research department researching a case. It was about 3 cases at the time. And what you needed to do, you had a binder with all these CDs in, and there was one CD per year. Until like the mid-80s, when there was like 2 CDs per year and then 5 CDs per year. So obviously there was more being published. You had to take one of these discs out. You put the first disc in and you put your query in it, and then it would say, ah, that was from, you know, you need to insert disc 47. This was what I did all day. Just let me take out the index disc, disc 47, put disc 47 in. Then it would load it up. It didn't give you the full article. All it gave you was the index. So what you had a bibliographic reference at that point. So you'd put a tick next to that one, which was basically saying the barrister's going to need to see this. So I was in charge of collating all of the data for this case to be presented at court. And eventually I ended up writing a 30,000 word thesis on it, which was basically a summary of all of the data for the past however many years. And then that was given to the barrister as like the summary. So I would put a tick in the box. Yes, we need that one. Then I'd be on to the next one. That's disc 46. Just a minute. Let's switch the disc over, then put a tick in that box. And what you could then do was, and there was no saving as PDF, this was you needed to, sounds like Mike's going to have to reboot next door. Is it Paulie?
Yes.
Oh dear, it's Paulie.
Audio hijack crashed.
Have you updated audio hijack?
Yes.
And it crashed after you'd updated
yes.
it? Oh dear. Hmm, that's not good.
No.
Did you update the Ace engine?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just reboot it then. If you need anything else, I've got another laptop here so we can swap
I've
that.
I've got my Surface, I can always use that.
So, there I am with my list. Couldn't make a PDF of it or anything, you literally had to print it out. Once you'd got your printout, then you got these forms from the British Library that were in triplicate. And they were with, like, carbon paper. it's a shame Jonathan's had to go, isn't it? Carbon paper. We'd have to explain to him what it was. It was made of carbon, Jonathan. It was that old. So you then had to use the list that you'd printed out and fill in all of the bibliographic reference stuff that they needed to find the actual article by hand. Ballpoint pen job. Had to be black. Took forever. It literally did take forever. And then you'd send those off to the British Library. The British Library would send back what they could. They'd send you back a photocopy. But sometimes they couldn't send you a photocopy and you had to go down there and actually view the things yourself. And it's in Boston Spa in Yorkshire. Apparently that's the nearest spot to the centre of the country. I didn't actually mind going. Well, it wasn't that bad. Probably about 90 miles from here. Nice day out for me, as far as I was concerned. Oh, and back in the day, it was like 39.9 pence a mile as well. So that didn't hurt either. And you had to do your own photocopying. Happy, happy days. And now, if you'd have said this to me a while ago, I wouldn't have believed it. I don't really, or I haven't up to now, had on the Mac much need for a database. Who remembers Bento? Bento was fabulous. Bento must have come out about 2007-08 time. And I think we got up to version 3. And it was good because it was really user-friendly. And it, although you could make it, you could put any data that you wanted in it, it automatically connected to your calendar and your contacts, which was stunning. In the day, that was amazing. I mean, when you think about Notion now, yeah, we're going to need the API for that. But this thing, it just worked. It was fabulous. And I built one particular database, which was my proofs database. And my proofs database was, I've got a website that I put together many years ago for my favourite actor. And on the page of everything that he's done, I won't put something on there unless I've got two independent sources to say he was actually in it. Because what people were doing, you'll love this, he kind of attracted the wrong kind of woman, to be honest. They were a bit barking. They were a bit, what was that film? Oh, the one with the Bunny Boiler. They were a bit Bunny Boilerish. So what they would do is they would put up, oh, he was in Jackanory in 1972. And then if you're hunting around and you think, oh, right, he was in Jackanory, and you like innocently put it on the list, they then delete it off theirs and then tell you that you're wrong. And you're like, what? But so I decided for my own sanity, I wanted two independent sources for everything that went on the site. And I put these things in this proofs database. I mean, I could have done it lots of different ways, but I just thought that Bento was perfect for it. And it was fantastic. It worked great until they binned it. And they binned it and they didn't really replace it with anything. It was just like Bento's going away. And at that point, I thought, well, what am I going to do for a database? And I did look at a couple of others. Mike did one. Mike covered one on MacBytes. which was Records, I think it's called, in the App Store. And, you know, it's a great looking app. And I realised, well, do you know what? These proofs could go in a spreadsheet at a pinch. It really wasn't that important that it was in a database. And I ended up thinking I don't really have a need for a database. And obviously Access doesn't run on the Mac. Records is $14.99 and I think it's part of setup. When I look at it now, the screenshots, they look exactly like Bento. But I realised I didn't have a need. Then when I got Notion, everything's in a database. And I'm like, how have I managed without a database for so long? And now I've got databases all over the place. But I don't think something like Records could probably cope with what I do. But again, it's all about principle. You know, if you've used a particular database or a particular word processor or a particular presentation software, you can kind of adapt to new versions of that app and other versions, other presentation apps or word processors from other companies, because you've got the basic idea. What I will say is the basic idea is okay, but you really do need to investigate not how something works, but sit and think, why does it work that way? What was in their mind when they designed it that way? Which is what I try and do. Like, as I'm screaming at it, like, why is that not on this tab? Why is it on the other tab? Why is that not doing this? And then all of a sudden, as I sit and I think about it, I think, ah, I see. That's why. Okay. And once you understand it, one, you calm down a lot. And two, you can probably use the app better as well. And in the case of anything with Microsoft, just right-click and it'll probably be on there. Which is what that guy that Mike used to work with said. He trained like that. He had no idea where anything was in the menu. His answer to everything was right click, it'll be there. And it was, you know, to be fair to him, it was. But I think you do need to understand the logic of where they put stuff and why they do it there. I don't think I've used Word in anger. I'm angry when I use it, but, you know, in anger for quite a long time. But then I don't use Pages either, which I think we talked about. I just don't really have the need to print stuff that much. And I think if I'm designing something for print, then that's going to be an Affinity publisher. So unfortunately, to some degree, Word's kind of just dropped off my usage. Excel, I have a love-hate relationship with. I know it's incredibly powerful, but it's unlikely. Have you let everybody in?
No.
Oh.
No. That was Peter Fleming. Couldn't get in the meeting.
It's not started yet.
Exactly. I said, give me 5 minutes. Because I can't be bothered.
Did you tell him you couldn't be bothered? No. You're in charge. It's your room.
Yeah.
When was the last time you used Word to actually produce something?
This afternoon.
Good grief. There's always one. And what was that?
A delivery guide. For a Power BI calculations and measures.
I can only imagine what a nightmare that was in Word, because it's not a DTP app.
No, it's a word processing app.
Yeah, but for linear working.
Yeah.
It's not a layout app. You know, like Pages has got two modes.
Yeah, but it's just basically a table with two columns with topic, brief explanation to demo this. And I'm only doing that because other people need to teach it.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in Word.
No, it'd be in OneNote, in my notes.
Sarah used it yesterday, so there's only me. I'm trying to think what kind of stuff that I would have put in Word years ago.
There's a song in there.
Is there?
Yesterday. All my troubles.
Not if you were in Word, they weren't. I do think there's some amazing templates for Word. I'll give it that. But I don't think I have the need for a long document. And if I did, it would probably, the layout would be important, and then it would be an Affinity publisher anyway. So I think that's probably just me, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was explaining with Excel, I know it's powerful, but I don't find it that user-friendly. I always find when I'm working in that, I'll hit a brick wall in Excel and I'll be like, oh, it doesn't do that. Well, actually, it probably will, but I just won't know how. And I'll start writing code for it in macros, and then Mike will come in and say, if you just press that button there.
Yeah, but half the time I write macros as well.
Oh, just me. No, not just me, though. Well, you use Access, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm just saying I didn't have a need for a database, and then I got Notion and everything's in a database. But I think that's just because... How did we manage all that we did without Notion?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. Well, for a start, we wouldn't have after hours because we got Notion. We started paying for Notion, I think we paid the bill yesterday, didn't we?
We just paid the bill, yeah.
Or today.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, I think we paid the bill. So 2 years ago, we paid the bill, which means we must have been on the trial for a month before. And that's when we started. I've just realised.
What?
We missed our birthday on the 16th. 16th of November, 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. It was after our birthday. Two it was on the 16th. Now, you see, if that had been in the calendar, that would have been fine. Mm. Yeah, need to make a note of that. That was episode one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then we waited 2 weeks and then we added our episode two because it was only ever going to be one thing, one show.
Well, Marooned was only going to be five shows.
Marooned was only going to be five shows and we are 249 today. Yeah. 250 tomorrow.
Oh, before I go, I'll tell you a story.
Oh, good.
I today was doing some iPad training and... I used to get excited about doing iPad training. You know, when iPads were rarer than hen's teeth and I thought I was cool and groovy. But, you know...
I've got a story about that.
Now I can't be bothered. So there's three people on it and I thought I could do with cancelling this session. So I'm Teamsing them, you know, like Skyping them, Teamsing them to see if they were actually coming. And one guy was in China, and I thought, well, it's going to be 9 o'clock at night there. He don't want to do training at night, but he said he'd come along. One guy works in tech support in the States, so I told him it was basic, and he said, oh, I'll sit it out then. And that left one other person who said she knew a bit about iPads, and it turns out after we'd done the basic stuff, she then decided that she had to go to another meeting. So she missed half of it. And then the other guy said, well I'm going to go now. So I finished the course. Yeah, I finished the course in half an hour.
Let me tell you a story about Mike and his iPad 1. We got an iPad 1, didn't we?
Mike, do I have the link for tonight's meeting? Yes, I do.
Will you just go and deal with them while I shame you here?
You're going to shame me.
It was announced in January 2010 and we hadn't seen it, but we ordered one. And at the time, between January and May, which was when they were available, people were just like dismissing it as, oh, it's just a big iPhone. But, you know, we'd spent however much on it and we had two coming on the day. So it arrived and the case arrived. The case for iPad 1 was shocking. Shocking. But there it was in its case. Mike headed off to work with it. And back then, very few people had an iPad. It was brand new. They didn't know what it could do, etc., etc. So Mike wanted kudos for having his iPad. So he headed off to the canteen and sat there with it. And no one was like that bothered. And he realised they probably thought he was using like a black binder. So he extricated his iPad from its case and sat there with the Apple logo on the back, like lifting it up so everyone could see it. And then people started coming across and saying, oh, is that an iPad? Saddo.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have worked here. Mum wasn't impressed anyway. You know, working from home and all that. That was the best thing about getting iPad 2, you know. Getting rid of the case off iPad 1. Hated that case on iPad 1. Does anybody else find that the case that's on your device really fundamentally changes how you use it? Because it does for me. The first iPad case was shocking. You couldn't even charge it, I don't think. Well, you couldn't put it in the dock. So you bought a dock, you bought a case, but you couldn't actually put this thing in the dock. See you later.
That's me. We've got no excuse now.
Right, they're all going to turn up, so you best be there. When iPad 2 came out, the big thing with it was the magnetic cover, which was, I mean, it was fabulous. Loved it, but didn't keep the back covered. But the fact that, you know, it would turn it on and off when you lifted it up at the front... the third one was exactly the same form factor wise as the other one. the second one. And I then didn't get one. I didn't replace the iPad 3, which was iPad Cyril, until the iPad Air 2, I think. I didn't get the one. Graham had the one. Said the front was a bit... the glass on it was quite plasticky. So I didn't have that one. I got the one after that. And I think with that, I've got that in a wraparound case. So all the cases I've got on the iPads are fractionally different. And they affect how you use the iPad. So I particularly... I have a Now TV subscription that I only use on this particular iPad because it's in a case that will stand up. Which is ludicrous because I've got that many iPad stands, but it's just habit. So I think they really do change it. You always used to have them on display. It's a shame modern software doesn't come with it. Oh, I agree, Anthony. The one that I remember the old, was it? It was Microsoft Office. I think it's the first version of the Office suite. And it was in like a white box that was square, and it must have been like... probably about 8 inches square, and it was so big because of all the manuals. And then when Windows 95 came out, we got Windows 95 and I got the box off that, and there was a new Office suite, and the box was so much smaller and the manual was like virtually non-existent. So right through to now, I have kept the manuals from that original version. I think it was Word 6 for Windows 3.1. Because fundamentally, nothing's changed. You know, the interface, the ribbon and all the rest of it. But this manual had all of the theory behind, well, this is why we've done it this way. And that hasn't changed. So I still keep that one. But the mother and father of all boxes, and both of them are still on my shelf, replete with manuals. I got the first Mac from Gordon Harwood's in Derbyshire way. And I didn't know much about unboxings and all the rest of it, nor the fact that I have an Apple store so close. But I did eventually want a laptop. So about 6 months later, they updated the laptops and I'm there. I want a new laptop. But if I paid a fraction more, you could get a business discount. So I'm in there with like, what do I need to spend to get a business discount? And basically, if I bought this laptop, and the laptop was actually, I think, cheaper than the software in the end. But I ended up, I think you had to spend £3,500. So I'd already upgraded the RAM in the laptop. I'd ordered it BTO. And this was service back in the day. I'd ordered it through the store for release day. And I was going in on this particular day, which was a Friday, to pick it up. And they'd said, I knew what RAM I wanted. I knew what everything else I wanted. And they said, it was when they brought out the gloss screens. And they said, gloss screen or matte? And I'm like, So I said, gloss. So he said, are you sure? Because, you know, there's a heck of a reflection on it. And I thought, yeah, but I think that one looks brighter. So he said, okay, leave it with me. So the week before, this was like 2 weeks to go. The week before, I went in again on the Friday for one-to-one, which was a training thing they used to run. And I said, you've got my laptop on order, haven't you? He said, yep. He said, actually, I've got two. I said, pardon? He said, I've got two. He said, I've got a shiny one and I've got a matte one. And you can choose on the day. Now that is service. Don't get service like that anymore. So I bought the laptop. But to make the money up to the £3,500 where I got my 10% discount off it. In fact, I think it was more than that. Can't actually remember the amount, but it was worth having. I put with it Final Cut Pro Studio. Well, the laptop was 17-inch laptop, which was fairly heavy, but that was nothing to the box that contained Final Cut Pro. It was the suite. So you had Final Cut, you had Compressor, you had Motion, you had Soundtrack Pro, and you had a big 3-inch manual for each one of them in the biggest box I think I've ever seen for software. And it was in an Apple bag, and he said, I'm going to have to put it in two more because I think the bottom might go. So this thing got taken out to my car with, I think I carried the laptop, and I think he carried, this was the day when they would come out and put it in your car as well. Sounds like Grace Brothers from the 50s, doesn't it? But they did. They were fantastic back then. So we get it out to the car and I get it home and my mum looks at it and she said, is that the laptop? I said, no, that's the software. The laptop's in the smaller box. Well, this thing, again, I worked through the manuals, but whoa, there was a lot of them. And I couldn't get over how heavy one manual was, much less the rest. So I decided I'd weigh them. So I heads off into the bathroom with this box of manuals and software and puts it on the scales. 2 stone, 2 pounds it was. No wonder it was heavy to carry. Which is, what's that in pounds? 30, about 30 pounds, 28, 30 pounds it was. Oh, those were the days. Then version 2 came out of the suite and I think I got the upgrade price on that. So I got that one. That one wasn't as big nor as heavy. I was actually quite disappointed. But they live next to each other on the shelf on the basis of they're kind of, I think they're the most expensive software I've ever bought. And just the fact that they are so huge. One day, I'm telling myself, there'll be a collector's item. One day. Oh dear, but it is nice to have them there. I must admit, though, they're in the studio, so they're on 2 Billy bookcases that are screwed to the wall. And on the front of the bookcases, we've got acoustic curtaining, so the microphones are quite happy in there. So basically, you go in the studio, and it's like going into a curtain shop. There's acoustic curtaining on the windows. There's acoustic curtaining on the bookshelves. There is acoustic desk covering on the desk. But it's nice. It's nice and warm, shall we say. And you can always lift the curtain up and there's all of my books on there. I don't think I've taken a book off that shelf in the last 3 years. One of these, do you remember The House Doctor? If you've not used it in 6 months, it's gone. Dawna Walters was another one. Yes, she'd have a fit. They're my babies. They're my memories and they're staying exactly where they are. And all my new ones, because normally you'd have to shift the stuff out, wouldn't you? But all my new books are on my Kindle. So I think in the last year, there's been 2 Dead Tree books arrive. And one was printed in 1991 and it's never been reprinted. So that was that one. And I think the other one was a similar sad sorry tale that there isn't a Kindle version. I dread to think on my Kindle. Well, I know on Audible, I think it's just told me I'm heading towards 3,000 titles. It's a good job I listen at 3 times, isn't it? Or 2.5. No, I was up to 2.8, wasn't I? And then I got to 3. Yeah, depends on the narrator, though. Very much depends on the narrator. But I can get through a novel a night. When I'm working overnight and I'm doing mindless design stuff, I can do that. Anthony's first computer was an Amstrad PCW8256 with LocoScript. I don't remember the number of the computer, but I do remember the adverts that there used to be for computers in the 80s, and I do remember the LocoScript thing. The people who made LocoScript bought out LocoScript for PC. A really nice box and loads of manuals in it. Fabulous. What are we like for our kit? I did when I was about... Gosh, it was before I met Mike. I had loads and loads. My first computer was a Sinclair Spectrum. And although I wasn't big on games, I did have loads and loads of games. Because we're about 8 miles from Manchester City Centre. And in Manchester City Centre, the Boots stores, which is a chemist, is very like they want to be Rackham's or Kendall's or Harrods. But being a little bit further out, Boots was still a chemist. And they got nominated to be a kind of drop shop, basically. It was where they sent stuff that was like they'd overordered and things. And I managed to get this computer for like, I think it was about £60. And, you know, next door in the gaming shop, it was like 200. It was ridiculous. So they used to send games there as well. And you could go in and instead of buying a game on a cassette, they just one. And they were, I think those at the time were nearly like £8. These things would be in a box. You sometimes could see what was inside them. Sometimes you couldn't. But you would buy a box and the box would be £2 and there'd be like 50 games in it. It was criminal. So I had lots of games, most of which I didn't play, but I did like load them up. Oh, that one's cool. Right, let's move on. I like the adventure game ones. And with them dropping all this stuff off there, a couple of years later, you know, I had more games than I could shake a stick at and I wasn't really using them. And I'd moved on to my Amiga. So it's probably about 1990, 1991. And my dad was a radio amateur and he would go to these radio rallies and they would sell radio equipment there. But he said, you know, normal people who had lots of kit, maybe somebody had died, could also take a table and sell their own stuff. And I'd got all these computers. I'd got multiple computers. I'd got multiple games. You name it, I had it. And I didn't really need them as I was heading off to university. So we took a table at one of these things. I went in there and I thought, well, you know, if you make like £50, I can put it towards my other computer. And we came away with about £400, which was enough to buy me amazing things for my new computer. So I don't have some of my original stuff. It had to go, unfortunately. But I do have my Amiga and I think I do have somewhere a Sinclair Spectrum as well. And after the Sinclair, I had the Commodore 64, which had the most amazing keyboard. That was a fantastic keyboard. More difficult to program, but I liked it. But it was my Sinclair Spectrum that actually I used through university in the end. I think that took me up to at least first year. And the stuff that printed out was amazing because I had that daisy wheel printer that we talked about the other day, which, I mean, that really was an industrial standard. And again, that came from Boots, from this little shelf in Boots in the corner that was just, oh, that's the stuff that head office have said, you know, can you sell this? And I was in there every other day. It was amazing. We were on first name terms with the manager, which turned out to be quite comical in another way as well, because I'd actually gone to the doctors, which is amazing for me, and I'd got some pills. And my mum had gone and she had got some pills. But she said, I don't think I'm as bad as you. And, you know, we could keep those because she knew what I was like going to a doctor. So we wanted to know what the sell-by date was on these pills. And, of course, the manager, being the chemist, came out and said, well, you know, you're taking them, they're fine. So, yeah, but, you know, we just like to know. Anyway, eventually he brought the big bottle out, he decanted them from, and it was something like, you know, 7 years life. And mum's like, oh, that's fine then. And he was looking at us so weird, but he knew we were weird anyway from all the computer stuff. But that was why she intended to keep them in the cabinet for use down the line if you couldn't actually get to the doctors. Oh, fun times. Brilliant times. So hopefully you'll be able to be with us tomorrow when it's Two Show Friday. We have Marooned at 7 o'clock and then we have After Hours at 9 o'clock, which, new toys tomorrow, I do believe. Let me get my running order. No, that's not the right show. That's not the right show. Are you the right show? You're the right show. Awesome. News about ScreenFlow and Biggles, quite a few Black Friday deals, quite a few updates. Pixelmator Pro 2.0 is proving interesting in that it doesn't seem to be working for me, but yeah, I'll have a look at it anyway. Hazel 5, there was a story. Oh, there was a story. Shall we just say it came out on Monday? Today is Thursday and it's finally working. Then we've got the typography in Affinity Publisher. And Mike's doing conversions. He's doing conversions in Excel. So we'll see how that goes. But hope you've enjoyed it today. Hope you'll be able to be with us tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodbye from me and I'll say goodbye from Mike. We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.